what it means to be an American. America is freedom, and freedom is special and rare.
We, the people of this great nation.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
We, the people of this great nation.
Good morning, my fellow American and patriots all across this great nation and all across the globe. I am sorry for my raspy voice. I do have some sort of a cold. My daughter was sick this weekend, and apparently I got whatever she had. That being said, how is everyone enjoying Joe Biden's America? All you guys on the left that voted for him, I hope you guys are enjoying the fact you got no gas. Let's just go through this real quick. Trump. Record low gas prices, energy independent, peace deals in the Middle East, border security, record-setting jobs. Joe Biden, in just a short 4 months, gas prices doubled, gas shortage, Middle East back at war, border crisis, inflation crisis. 4 months, guys. 4 months. Right now, America's under attack, and we're not even seeing it. Most people don't even see it. The left apparently doesn't care. They'd rather receive paychecks every single day, every single... It's the most ridiculous thing. They'd rather receive a check than work, than go out and work. Basically, Joe Biden is failing America. He's making Americans dependent on the federal government, which I think has always been his original game plan, if you ask me. But that is the left's entire game plan, which is making Americans dependent on the federal government. So we've got disastrous things going on all over the United States. We still have riots occurring. Can't figure out whether or not to wear the mask or not wear the mask. Doesn't follow the science. I mean, this is... But on a positive note for you Republicans that despise Representative Liz Cheney, she has been booted from GOP leadership. So that is a proud moment right now. A very proud moment. I'm extremely happy about that. So right now we have chaos. We have people fighting, men and women fighting, fist fighting each other over gas. Nothing unusual, right? So as we speak right now, we have the special presidential envoy for climate, John Kerry, is testifying before Congress. Which is a fucking joke because we all know John Kerry's as corrupt as Joe Biden. I am looking forward to us taking back, okay? I am so looking forward to us taking back our country. There was something that I found to be extremely fascinating. This is a guy that I've gained to, I've gained quite a dislike and a hatred for him. Goes by the name of Jimmy Kimmel, the biggest hypocrite and one of the biggest hypocrites in Hollywood. Almost got canceled himself because of his same rhetoric that he was apparently spitting backfired on him because apparently blackface, he's done it several times for his show. But finally, people strike back. And that I enjoy. He decided to go after Sean Hannity, for example, right? Well, Sean Hannity had a nice little message to send him, and I enjoyed it so much.
A movie, because I can promise you,
it's just right, far left, low rated late night host Jimmy Kimmel is spewing more hatred and more rage, saying, quote, it is transphobic to call a trans person an ignorant a-hole in response to our interview with Caitlyn Jenner talking about the real problem of homelessness. Jimmy, what is with all the anger and all the cheap shots? Yeah, if you haven't noticed, homeless people all over your state. And by the way, don't you have anything better to do? Maybe actually trying to be funny or boost your dismal ratings, because we're absolutely crushing you by like 70% in total viewers, Jimmy. So that's this quarter. Jimmy, here's my advice. Don't talk about my show anymore. But since you did, let's remind people, take a trip down memory lane. You want to talk about ignorant assholes? This is you dressed as Karl Malone. And check this out. This is you, an ignorant asshole, when you had a cucumber in your pants during the Man Show. And maybe your bosses at Disney can talk you out of your bad behavior. You talk about my show, I'll hit you back 50 times harder. Ball's in your court. Take it away.
I love it. I love it. The right is striking back. Sean Hannity's always been pretty straightforward. He's been pretty much, he's always been an aggressive guy. I wish more of the Republicans would be like that. But unfortunately, Republicans, a lot of them are spineless. I've met several of them. I've met so many of them. Look, I'm right now reading a message that was sent to me by a lefty. Okay, I'm just gonna give him I'm just gonna give you his first name. His first name is Bill. He sent me a nice little message, and his message is: Liz is a true patriot. Sure, buddy. Everything that goes against the right, the left is automatically gonna use it to their advantage. Give me a break, Bill. Give me a fucking break. Take your weakness and take your bullshit somewhere else. It's awesome to see. It's awesome to see how you like Joe Biden's America. And mind you, I know this man personally, and I know that he's financially in a good position. So it's very easy for somebody that's in a financially good position to not give a shit about what's happening to this country. He's also extremely old, which only leads me to believe that he can care less about the future of this country. Of course, but the hypocrisy continues. We're always going to see the same thing. So just listen to the things that they can get away with that we cannot get away with. And this is the righteous left, the group of individuals that love America so much.
Guys, it's 2021, so nothing should surprise you anymore. But Ilhan Omar came out with yet another doozy, and my father has some commentary on it. So you're going to want to listen to this one, okay? Ilhan Omar says it's an act of terrorism for Israel to defend itself from Hamas rocket attacks. So we are clear. Israel is committing an act of terror, apparently, by retaliating against what is an American and European Union designated terror organization shooting rockets into Israel and cities and civilian locations. 150 missiles went out starting on Monday night from a terror organization, and a congresswoman from Minnesota, Ilhan Omar, which shouldn't surprise us given some of the other things she said about Israel and the general anti-Semitic tropes that she's had, thinks it's an act of terror for them to defend themselves from missile strikes. So she says, quote, Israeli airstrikes killing civilians in Gaza is an act of terrorism. Palestinians deserve protection. Unlike Israel, missile defense programs such as the Iron Dome don't exist to protect Palestinian civilians. It's unconscionable not to condemn these attacks on the week of Eid. She said this Monday afternoon in a tweet. The Israelis need the Iron Dome because their enemies, terror organizations like Hamas, shoot missiles into their neighborhoods, Ilhan. Again, U.S. and the European Union have designated Hamas as a terror organization, okay? They've issued ultimatums to Israel to remove troops from mosques that were there to quell the violent riots that happened over the weekend. But when the terrorists shoot missiles at your civilians, you're not supposed to do anything. Now, there are some casualties, and that's terrible, but we've also known that some of these terror organizations, they literally shoot missiles from civilian locations to use those civilians, their people that they're supposed to be representing, as actual cover so that they can't retaliate. That's how sick this is. That's how absolutely insane this tweet is. Ilhan Omar accused Israel in another tweet on Sunday of committing ethnic cleansing because of the legal battles to put Israelis back into some developments that were theirs prior to being removed by the Jordanians in the 1948 war. So you see what's going on in the Middle East. It's a mess. And my father put out a statement from the office of the 45th president of the United States. Part of it reads, when I was in office, we were known as the peace presidency because Israel's adversaries knew that the United States stood strongly with Israel. President Donald Trump. And he's right. We did. And our enemies didn't mess with our allies because they knew we would have their backs. When you create the kind of commentary that Ilhan Omar has, when you create that kind of tension, when Israel's stepping in and saying, hey, maybe stay out of this thing. When you create that gap, our enemies see that gap and they target it. They go after it because they see the weak link and they're going to exploit it. And that's what Joe Biden and the Democrats' weakness and appeasement policies to terror organizations like Hamas have gotten us. So, again, Donald Trump was right. He got peace deals done in the Middle East that everyone thought was literally impossible. It was the holy grail of geopolitical politics for decades. He did it. Wake up, folks.
I've never understood how people don't realize how weak Joe Biden is. He is the one that is causing all these disastrous things that are going on in this country right now. And I'm gonna have Sean Hannity once again explain it for my listeners out there so you guys can understand how this man has single-handedly destroyed our country. I mean, this is just ridiculous. I mean, and again, people continue to defend him and make him look as if he's actually accomplished anything, and he hasn't accomplished a damn thing.
If we now turn our attention back to the U.S., where 17 states as of today in Washington, D.C., they have now all issued emergency declarations as their supply of oil and gas. It's now drying up. The Colonial Pipeline system, which is the largest in America, has now been offline for 5 consecutive days after the cyber attack, we believe, from Russian-based hackers. The FBI is confident they know who did it. This pipeline is responsible for nearly half of all the oil and gas that is used on the East Coast of the U.S., including jet fuel at airports and military bases. Now more than 1,000 gas stations in the Southeast, they've already run out of gas. Other stations experiencing very long lines, spiking prices everywhere, eerily similar to what the United States experienced under Jimmy Carter in the 70s. American Airlines, they're now adding stops just to refuel their planes at airports away from the East Coast. This is a serious situation, a full-blown crisis. Biden's energy secretary is more worried about semantics. How appropriate. Take a look.
This is why we know that we have gasoline. We just have to get it to the right places. And that's why these next couple of days, I think, will be challenging. And we want to encourage people. It's not that we have a gasoline shortage. It's that we have this supply crunch and that things will be back to normal soon. And that we're asking
people
not to board.
Wow, Donald Trump said the same thing about COVID-19.
We are all over this.
So, interesting enough, Donald Trump actually said he was trying to keep people calm during the time of COVID-19. Did the exact same damn thing. But no, he was looked at like a villain. Everybody attacked him as if he was some sort of villain. But again,
all right, don't worry. The White House is monitoring the fuel shortages very closely. What the hell does that mean? And of course, even before the hack, gas prices were already spiking. Why? Because the Biden administration, they killed off, stroke of a pen, Keystone Pipeline. They put new restrictions on fracking, sought to artificially reduce oil and gas supply. You reduce the supply. Supply-demand crisscross equals the price. Limited supply, higher prices. All in the name of socialist climate change and the new definition of infrastructure. And now, Americans, you, the American people, you will pay the price. Gas prices are at a 7-year high and they are climbing fast. And the East Coast of the U.S. is likely now more reliant on Russian oil than ever before. Putin, the mullahs in Iran, let's see, China, countries in the Middle East that hate us, they're doing backflips over all this. This is Russia, China, and Iran. Well, they have united to fund a proxy war in Yemen against other countries in the Middle East. How's that for a pretty frightening and unholy alliance? Now we are the victim of these cyber attacks against the U.S. Hey, Joe, I don't know. Maybe you can enlist Hunter and he can help out. I mean, he has all these contacts in the Russian government, you know, like the Russian oligarch, the First Lady of Moscow, you know, that wired $3.5 million to his company. Or maybe he can talk to the Chinese Communist Party officials who he is in business with, or the Chinese officials that took him and his family on a $100,000 international shopping spree for the Biden family, or his contacts in the Chinese military, and, of course, the $1.5 billion deal with the Bank of China. I say it's time to enlist Hunter. And by the way, Hunter, he's got to be an energy expert by now after making millions serving on the board of Burisma in Ukraine with Ukrainian oligarchs. Right, Joe? Where's Hunter when we need him? Maybe you should call him up. He can help us with Russia. He can help us with Iran, China. I mean, the gas stations without gas. He's the expert. And maybe probably even make a few more $1 million for such expertise. But I digress. Our own Sarah Carter was in Virginia today at a gas station experiencing long lines as drivers rushed to get whatever fuel they could. I can't wait to wait online this weekend.
This is Biden's America, guys. You are witnessing right now Biden's America. These idiots, every idiot out there that voted for Joe Biden, voted for the weakest president. They called him a leader. Does a leader let his country get taken over like this, get hacked? Do you think Russia's going to get any consequences for their actions? Do you think he's going to do anything to protect Israel? No. No, because he is a puppet. And the puppet masters probably don't care. And that is the truth. And look, furthermore, I mean, I could do this all day long, ladies and gentlemen. All day long. Look at, now let's talk about his economy. Okay? His great, great economy. This is another guy that I enjoy so much. If you guys can get a chance, Tucker Carlson is the man.
A lot of unprecedented things happening, but honestly, not all of them are shocking. For example, it probably shouldn't surprise you that once they got their hands on real power, the same lunatics who don't believe in human biology immediately made a serious mess of our economy. It took them less than 6 months to do it. First, they acted like the U.S. dollar had no value. They spent money like they just printed it for the occasion, which, needless to say, they had. And predictably, we wound up with frightening levels of inflation, which, for the record, they still deny exists. But inflation does exist, as you know well if you live here. Corn prices, to name just one example of a staple commodity that is now out of control, have risen by 50% just since January. But that wasn't bad enough. The lunatics then decided to make it even worse than that. So they paid millions of Americans more than they make at work just to stay home and do nothing. To justify doing this, they used the word COVID quite a bit, but it had nothing to do with the pandemic. They just wanted to break the system, and so they did. And the rest of us immediately wound up with a bewildering combination of rising unemployment in the middle of a severe labor shortage. So at the very same time, we found ourselves with too many workers and also too few workers. That doesn't even make sense, but thanks to their policies, that's now exactly what we have. And then finally, in case 2021 didn't remind you enough of a grimmer version of the 1970s, we now have serious gas shortages in a country that was recently energy independent. All along the east coast of the country today, people couldn't fill up their cars. Take a look at the footage. It looks like Venezuela.
Gas shortages now being reported in at least
six
states
NBC
and
News.
Expected to grow, stretching down the highways as customers wait at the pumps. The governor of North Carolina has declared a state of emergency. The station there running out of fuel.
As pumps run dry and officials urge drivers not to panic buy.
We're completely out of diesel and gas.
But already, long lines and low fuel gauges.
The shutdown of the pipelines also putting major airports in Baltimore, Charlotte, and others on the East Coast at risk of low supply.
An emergency? No. If they ran out of weed, that would be an emergency. Don't worry, says the New York Times. None of this is real. It's a conspiracy theory. Your eyes are lying to you.
You're hysterical. Dr. Q created this.
In a piece today, the New York Times reported that, quote, since the pipeline shutdown, there have been no long lines at gas stations. Then apparently someone in the New York Times newsroom found a working television and the paper deleted that line from the article a few hours later without ever acknowledging it had included the line in the first place. That was the paper. But for their readers on social media, who presumably will believe absolutely anything, the New York Times did not even bother to change the lie. That tweet is still up. Quote, since the shutdown, there have been no long lines or major price hikes for gasoline. Right. None at all. Except in the state of Georgia, where as of 3 p.m. this afternoon, almost 6% of all gas stations had no gasoline. In Virginia, that number was almost 8% of all gas stations. In North Carolina, it was 8.5%. In metro Atlanta, the biggest city in the South, more than 20% of all gas stations, more than a fifth, had no gasoline to sell. That is an energy crisis. Why is it happening? Well, the official explanation is that some mysterious gang of cyber criminals hacked the software at a major American fuel supplier called Colonial Pipeline. Colonial Pipeline handles more than 2 million barrels a day. That's roughly half the East Coast's entire supply of diesel, gasoline, and jet fuel. And that's not a small problem in a country, like every country on Earth, that still relies almost entirely on fossil fuels to survive. But don't worry, says her new energy secretary, Jennifer Granholm, formerly the incompetent governor of Michigan, quote, it's not that we have a gasoline shortage. It's that we have the supply crunch. Oh, it's a supply crunch. And that's very different from a shortage, at least in some theoretical way that's important to Jennifer Granholm. So what is the White House doing about this supply crunch that is not a shortage? Well, here's the answer from Ann Neuberger, who is the confirmed non-genius who somehow serves as the deputy national security advisor for cyber and emerging technologies.
So first, we recognize that victims of cyber attacks often face a very difficult situation, and they have to just balance often the cost-benefit when they have no choice with regard to paying a ransom. Colonial is a private company and will defer information regarding their decision on paying a ransom to them.
Would the administration offer any advice on whether or not to pay a ransom?
So typically that is a private sector decision, and the administration has not offered further advice at this time.
Ransom.
Given the rise in ransomware, that is one area we're definitely looking at now to say what should be the government's approach to ransomware actors and to ransoms overall.
That's the person protecting you from the cyber criminals. Colonial Pipeline, Ann Neuberger would like to remind you, is a, quote, private company. And as a matter of principle, the White House does not get involved in the affairs of private companies, not unless private companies were to use the wrong pronoun in a sentence, in which case the FBI would arrive with a SWAT team and make televised arrests. But in cases where the mere fuel supply of the entire Eastern Seaboard is at stake, Ann Neuberger and her friends at the White House strongly prefer a hands-off approach. They're situationally libertarian that way. What is this about? Well, you know. On some level, let's be honest about it, the White House approves of this disaster. Yes, some gas stations are closed tonight. But soon enough, the lunatics plan to close all of them. Close every gas station in the entire United States, shuttered forever, to make way for some new, as yet not quite defined means of transportation that will magically replace the gasoline engines that we have used for more than 100 years. This is a green revolution, so who cares about some old pipeline? Remember that on his first day in office, Joe Biden shut down a pipeline. That's the first thing he did. It was the massive Keystone XL pipeline. Joe Biden didn't wait for mysterious hackers to shut it down. He shut it down himself, and more than 11,000 people lost their jobs. And by the way, gas prices went up. In case you haven't noticed, gas prices have never gone down. In the state of California, the average price of a gallon of gasoline is over $4. A year ago, it was $2.70. In Illinois, gas is $3.20 a gallon. Last year, it was $2.10.
Good
it's
job,
lefties.
It's
not just two big liberal states, it's the entire country. In Texas, gas prices are averaging $2.70 a gallon. Last year, it was $1.50. In the state of Maine, the average price of gas is almost $3. A year ago, it was under $2, and so on. Nationally, Americans are paying about $45 billion more for gasoline overall than they were last year. Why? This is the result of policy decisions made by the new administration. This is the Green New Deal. We've got it already. And if you love gas shortages and electricity blackouts, no air conditioning, $80 plywood, this is the program for you. Tomorrow, the administration's Bureau of Labor Statistics will release the new official numbers on inflation in America. You should know that a key part of that statistic is called the Consumer Price Index. And the Consumer Price Index measures the prices of a carefully curated selection of goods and services. And if tomorrow's Consumer Price Index number is flat, rest assured the people on TV will tell you it is proof that inflation isn't real. Should you believe them? Well, before you take their word, take note of what is not included in the official consumer price index. Lumber, for example, because no one in America buys building materials. So you should definitely ignore this.
In a recent study by Fortune.com, the average price of lumber is now 280% higher than what it was pre-pandemic, which is causing the cost of construction to also increase 30 to 40%. In a statement from the division president for Homes by Town, Jeff Pemstein, he says for a typical 1,500 square foot home, just rough lumber used for framing has increased from $14,000 per home to $29,000.
Get yourselves ready. Buckle up.
280% up. Wow, Marge, that's a lot. What's going on here? Well, typically in the material world where the laws of nature apply, when the price of something jumps that quickly and that high, you've got a supply problem because it's supply and demand. There just isn't enough of that thing to go around. More people want it and we don't have enough of it. Does that apply to lumber? Are there fewer spruce trees out there than there were a year ago? Are those trees growing more slowly than they once did? Have we seen a 280% increase in new houses being built? The answer is no, no, and no. The real answer, as you may have guessed, is that bad federal policies are distorting the price of everything in this country, from 2x4s to diesel fuel to corn dogs. None of this is an accident, just as it wasn't an accident when the power went out in Texas over the winter. It wasn't a cold snap that did it. It was a federal policy that encouraged the state to rely on windmills, which don't actually work.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Biden's America. I'm just trying to give you guys a sneak peek on how bad everything right now is looking in America. I mean, look, it is... This is a fucking joke. We got from the other side the woke celebrities like Tom Cruise, who sits pretty on his multi-million dollar lifestyle. Now he's giving back his 3 Golden Globe trophies to join the protest against HFPA. I mean, this is just insane, people. This is insane. These people are out to destroy our country. They are destroying. This is a war, guys. This is a war. And we're just casualties of this war. We're the ones paying the piper. We're the ones feeling all this because the left decided to rig an entire election and remove a president that put America first. Donald Trump was the only person stopping this chaos from happening. Now we are seeing what it looks like without President Trump in office. We warned you, every Republican out there, every Trump supporter warned you. But no, we were all conspiracy theorists. We were all crazy Trump addicts. We were Trump supporters, bigots, deplorables. We were the guys that were too dumb to know any better. Well, guess what? You're the ones that are dumb that are actually feeling the effects, and you're fucking it up for everyone else in this country. This is what's happening. When you're living in a country where they think this is okay, where they continue to ignore the things that are going on. They're not talking about the crisis on the border. It's still there. It hasn't stopped. It's still there. A recent farmer outed Joe Biden because there was 4 kids that were left stranded. And this is the America that now seems to be the new norm. I don't know how people think this is normal to allow something like this to occur. I mean, to me, it's just incredible that the left is so blind. And I'll tell you why they're so blind. Because they're so focused on their lifestyles, on the power grab. My friends, we need to start protesting. We need to start protesting. They are trying. It's not being publicized enough, but they are trying to change our election laws. They want to stay in power. They're trying to do it now because they know 2022 is around the corner. Remember how crucial I told you? You guys want to see Trump back in office? We better take the House and Senate back. For all of our Trump supporters out there, you guys need to engage with every single Republican you know, and you need to make sure that they go out there and they vote. and make sure nothing happens in these elections that are illegal in any which way. They are trying to take control of this country. They don't want rules. They don't want elections. They want to be able to win time and time again and call the shots and destroy our constitutional rights. Thankfully, I live in the great state of Florida, where I have Governor DeSantis, who fights for our constitution, who fights for our rights. This guy's just phenomenal. He recently signed a law banning local governments from imposing new gun restrictions. Florida's safe, guys. So all you lefties out there that plan on protesting over here, bringing your bullshit over here, you best step the fuck back, because this state ain't allowing it. See, we're happy where we're at right now. We're very happy where we're at. We're in a very good position right now. Florida is doing great, aside from the fact that Joe Biden just fucked us on gas, and they seem to not want to do anything about it. It's sad, but true. And I'm going to tell you something. As for the whole situation that's happening between Israel and the Palestinian terrorist groups, Hamas, I'm with Israel. I stand with Israel, always and forever. They have been a solid ally. And I want to give you a little bit of hope, guys. This soon will be over. If we could just survive till the moment that 2022 comes in and we take these fuckers out, there will be nothing left for them to do. They will not be able to do anything else. They will not be able to continue to fuck over our country. And we could put an end to this. I will be taking that tour. I will be going to the states that everybody is scared of going to. I am not afraid of expressing my First Amendment right. I'm not afraid. I will be your voice. I have said this from day one. This has always been my goal. This is now not even become a goal anymore. I'm determined. This is now determination, my friends. I've created a nonprofit organization so people can see hunters in a different way, because I love hunting. So I've decided that the website's still in development, but I opened up something called feedtheneeded.org. And what I'm going to be doing is every time I go out hunting and I kill these boars, which, may I add, are destroying our ecosystem, I will be donating the meat to those who need food, those that don't have food. Unfortunately, it's a very difficult job to do, because it's hard to find people that to cooperate and do work for free. You know, nobody likes to work for free. So I'm trying to make it the first nonprofit where everybody does this absolutely free. Nothing comes out of pocket for anybody. Nobody has to donate money. It's just hunters doing their thing. We enjoy the sport, and there's plenty of meat out there for those that are starving. And Americans need it, because the government ain't going to help them. The government ain't going to help them. As for that, if you guys want updates consistently, you guys can follow me on Facebook, Republican Podcast, or you could just search The Republican Nation. On Instagram, I post quite a lot. My Instagram account is The Republican Nation. You could see everything that's going on. The bus purchase that's already in the works, guys. The 2021 tour is going to be phenomenal. I'm excited. I'm more excited than I've ever been for anything in my life. But I want to give you guys, I want to show you guys, this is my 200th episode, my 200th podcast that I've done. And I want to show my appreciation to all my supporters. So I'm gonna be giving out free hats to my supporters. So I'm going to be mailing out free hats. All you've got to do is email me and make sure that on the subject line you put hat. And I will be sending you a new camouflage, which you can see it on Instagram, hat, directly to your house, free of charge, no shipping, nothing. You don't have to pay for a damn thing. Because I love you guys that much. You guys have been showing me support for so long, and I am extremely grateful, and I love you guys. I love every American out there. I even love the lefties. I just think they're a bunch of dummies. But I love every single American out there, and I want to give back to you guys, because you've given me so much. Again, remember, My email is jase@therepublicannation.com. That's jase@therepublicannation.com. I love you guys, man. It's plain and simple. I love you guys. You guys have been amazing. You guys have been so supportive of my progress and everything that, and I'm where I'm at today because of you. And I appreciate that. And I will always be your voice. So I'm going to jump into some of the emails I received. So I received one from Alex, 2021 tour. Hey, Jase, just wanted to drop a line and ask you if you're coming to Washington State on your tour. Alex, yes, I am. I'm specifically going to be going to red areas, but I'm also going to Seattle. I want to see what the hell's going on up there. I live about 2 hours north of Seattle, and we are here are full Trump supporters. I listened to your podcast the other day about being afraid to speak your mind like I am like you. I have zero problems calling a pig, and have no problems saying what's on my mind. And yes, like you, I have been kicked off of, I guess, social media, quote unquote. Bleacher Report countless times for speaking my mind about the Kaepernick thing. Yeah, he's a joke. I hate that idiot gave Americans and police a bad name. I don't have any social media accounts due to this idiocy. So I keep it old-fashioned and stay person instead of over a keyboard and the left likes to do. Anyway, if you are up in the good old Cedro Woolley, Washington, I would love to meet you and grab a beer. Cheers, buddy. Keep up the good fight. Got to go back to work. The left depends on my back. You're damn right they do. And yes, I'll go over there and I'll have not one beer, but I'll have five beers with you. I'll get drunk with you. I have a reputation for getting extremely drunk. I love beer. I love drinking it. This is the problem. Social media is really ran by the left. So we got no control over it. It's sad, but it's true. It's a reality. And it is what it is. And we just got to deal with it until somebody steps up and changes this because it's already ridiculous. So we got an email from Corrine. The subject line is prayers and little humor. Hi, Jase. Just wanted to send prayers to Dr. Q and his mom and to the family of your friend that recently passed away. I hope they are able to keep this restaurant open in his memory. Well, a little status update. Apparently, it's been closed and they are going to have legal battles. Apparently, there's going to be legal battles involved. And the longer it stays closed, the worse the situation gets. Because the more people just walk away and forget that restaurant exists and all those loyal customers don't come back anymore. But anyways, on a lighter note, I also wanted to give you some ideas of chicken names if you do decide to get some. For hens, Feather Locklear. Princess Dehenna. For roosters, Edgar Allan Poe. That's awesome. I will put that, I would keep that in mind. I promise you I will keep that in mind and I will probably name them that. And I'll probably post pictures of them as well on my Instagram. Once again, thank you for all you do. Your podcast and others like it are the light in the darkness of many fellow Republican, Corrine. Thank you, Corrine. I appreciate the love. I try my very best. I really do. It's hard because when you're dealing with so much, because I'm definitely dealing with a lot. It's not... I'm a one-man show, okay? So I've been banned recently from a platform that I used to use, not because I cared, because I get much more listeners on my podcast than I do from Twitch. But they banned me because I simply stated facts. But what was more frustrating than all of that wasn't so much the fact that they banned me because I really didn't care. I've been working on my own platform. I've had designers. I've had to buy servers. I've been working on my own platform, not a platform like Twitter, but a platform where I can stream live. You can just, it's interactive. You can download the app. It's on the website, both for Apple and Android. But what was interesting enough is seeing these fake conservatives that instantly just turned their back on me after I've done so much for them. I created a platform where they created quite a little name for themselves. I guess in the scheme of things, it's very small. I mean, the viewership that they get is so small, it's insignificant. They're not even touching enough people to even change people's minds. It's really an echo chamber. But it was frustrating because I feel like I gave so much to that community and they were quick to turn their backs on me. But again, that has nothing to do with right or left. That's just human nature. That's what they do. And since that's what they do, I just take it for what it is, and I keep working and keep moving forward. It doesn't change anything in my life. Actually makes my life a little bit simpler because it pushed me to motivate these guys to finish my platform quicker. But that being said, believe me, they will strongly regret their decision. They will strongly regret the decision. They don't realize the amount of listeners that I have. They do not realize the movement we've got going. They do not realize how far I'm willing to go to make America great again. There was something that I wanted to show you. I wanted you guys to listen. Problem is, now I can't find it. But it was interesting because I literally watched a white woman try to tell a black conservative on how he should think. And I found it to be so interesting. I know who the conservative is. He's a young kid. He supports Trump a lot. He's been on the front lines for quite some time. I'm just trying to find it, and I don't think I'm going to be able to. I had it yesterday. I thought I had it ready to go, but apparently I misplaced it in some which way or another, and now I cannot find it. I don't think I'm going to be able to find it, but it was an interesting take because he literally destroyed this woman. It was the funniest thing. It was like, it's ironic to see a white woman trying to change the mind of a young black conservative just because she thinks he is wrong and he's been brainwashed, but he was on point. He knew exactly what he was saying when he was saying it. And I'm trying to find out, oh my God, if I could remember his name. And he's so good. He is so good. I'm trying to find it here for you. I am really trying to find it for you. By the way, I want to give out a shout out to Stained Allegiance. If you guys haven't checked them out, check out Stained Allegiance. They make the coolest patriotic flags where you could store guns, alcohol, whatever you want in a hidden compartment, and it's safe and secure, and it's just phenomenal. I received mine yesterday, posted a picture of it. It looks great. It's amazing. And I'm glad to see, I'm seeing so much support for Donald Trump, and I've seen so many people turn to the I think that everything that's happening right now in this country as we speak is helping Trump's movement forward. But I will tell you, I do not think Trump will run for president if they don't win the House and Senate. So, I'm just being completely honest with you. Well, I cannot find the video, but you guys could probably search it. But I do want you to listen to this. Jesse Waters, another character that I love so much. He went in deep on he apparently wanted to figure out who's the puppet masters for Joe Biden, and he started doing a little investigating, and this is where the conclusion he came to.
Who's really running the Biden administration? Not Joe, it's his puppet masters. Just over 100 days in, and we know Joe likes to keep a low profile, that's for sure. He doesn't hold a lot of events. He's in bed pretty early each night, and he likes to avoid answering questions. Maybe this is why.
I'm sorry, this is the last question I'll take, and I'm really going to be in trouble.
You're probably wondering, who would he get in trouble with? He's the president. So who are the five people pulling all the strings? This, according to Politico. Biden's brain trust is dominating the decision-making at the White House. They have to approve everything. Biden doesn't make a lot of decisions.
Ron Klain, Steve Ricchetti.
Aides complain because every decision must go through his handlers, even the smallest hire.
And Steph Feldman.
Decision-making is incredibly slow. Biden's governing in a bubble. Almost nobody's allowed to see Biden in the Oval except a very small select group of people. Number one, Ron Klain. White House Chief of Staff is at the top. He's obsessed with reducing any Biden family scandals, especially those involving Hunter. So he has a lot on his plate. He's been working with Biden for decades. He was chief counsel when Biden led the Senate Judiciary Committee, chief of staff when Biden was VP, the Ebola response coordinator under Obama, and he's even admitted the Obama administration did every possible thing wrong on the swine flu. Klain is a lobbying king. His big tech connections from his lobbying days are endless, a major score for the Biden administration. He was a part of the executive council of Silicon Valley's lobbying arm in Washington. He's also lobbied for CNN's parent company, AOL Time Warner, and was a venture capitalist, of course, until he came to the White House. Dark money, Klain's all over it, involved with groups like the Center for American Progress, just to name a big one. Klain is a rank partisan. According to CNN, Republicans were frustrated with Klain during the Oval Office meeting in February, where he was calling all the shots, not Biden, and shaking his head no every time a Republican senator even presented one idea. Next up, Steve Ricchetti, Biden's counselor. He's been pulling strings in Biden's life for a long, long time. He also worked in both the Obama and the Clinton administrations. Very swampy. According to New York Times sources, Ricchetti has overseen lots of Biden's financial and personal decisions, in addition to his political ones. He was the one who made his seven-figure book deal happen and his book tour that brought him over $15 million. He's Biden's money man. Ricchetti's also a well-known lobbyist, of course, his own lobbying firm raking in millions of dollars. His clients were some of the top corporate companies in America, AT&T, Pfizer, General Motors, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Dow Chemical, just to name a few. He has his hand in every major market. According to the New York Times, his connections to K Street, the lobbying hub, and the Clintons was a problem for, get this, Obama. Turns out several Obama advisors tried to stop Biden from hiring Ricchetti during the Obama administration, but Biden fought back. Why would Biden want him so bad? Well, he's helped make big bucks for Biden and is well connected to corporate America. Then there's Mike Donilon, Biden's senior advisor. He also worked in the Obama administration, serving as a top aide for then VP Biden. He's worked with Biden dating all the way back to 81, when Biden was a senator. Knows him well. Donilon, nicknamed the Biden Whisperer, is known for being a message guru. Just before Biden took office, the New York Times wrote, "President-elect Joseph R. Biden Jr. is delivering a message of cooperation and conciliation as he prepares to move into the White House." It's Mike Donilon's message. Donilon probably loses his mind when Biden veers from the script that he wrote for him. Before coming to the White House, Donilon was managing partner of MCD Strategies, a media consulting firm, where he made over $4 million. Two of his big clients, the Democrat National Convention Committee and the Biden campaign. Donilon, a bit of a grifter? Well, we'll wait and see about that. Biden's deputy chief of staff, Bruce Reed, worked in the Clinton presidency as director of domestic policy counsel and chief domestic policy advisor. He worked very closely with Biden to pass the 94 crime bill. He also worked in the Obama administration, of course, as chief of staff to then VP Biden. Reed used to be the president of the Broad Foundation, focusing on education. No surprise here. The Broad Foundation's individual donations have swayed far left, over 90% of them coming from the Broads themselves. They donated thousands to Biden in 2020. They donated over $1 million in March 2020 to the LCV Victory Fund, created to help elect environmental champions handle climate change. And the LCV Victory Fund spent millions in our last election to run ads slamming Trump and promoting Biden. They've also donated hundreds of thousands to DNC services. Could explain maybe the holdup in reopening schools. Then there is Steph Feldman, Biden's longtime aide, turned climate champion, a staple of Biden's circle. Feldman's Biden's policy guru and a huge ideologue. According to E&E News, Feldman is behind the $2 trillion plan for climate change and clean energy jobs. They credit her with a lot of the executive orders Biden passed, including killing Keystone. She said Biden was so proud to stop it. Feldman's goal, she says, is to create clean energy plans. But over 100 days into the administration, and all she's done is puppet Master Joe into killing thousands of good union jobs. Now, outside of those five, there's also Susan Rice, head of the White House Domestic Policy Council and the Obama connection. Many believe Rice is controlled by the Obamas and is working their agenda from within the Biden White House. So next time Biden says he might get into trouble, you know why. There's key people running the Joe show, and it's unclear if Biden is one of them.
Wrecking Ball Joe, I think that that deserves, I think that deserves a...
I came in like a wrecking ball.
Guys, that is our show for the day. I love you all so much. Remember, if you want to be a part of the show or you want to have your voice heard, you can email me at Jase, J-A-S-E, at therepublicannation.com. God bless you, God bless your families, and God bless this beautiful country we call America.
It is time for our politicians to summon the bravery and determination of our American ancestors. It is time. It is time to plant our flag and to protect the greatest of this nation for citizens of every race, in every city, and every part of this glorious land. For the sake of our honor, for the sake of our children, for the sake of our union, we must protect and preserve our history, our heritage, and our great heroes is in our hands. And ladies and gentlemen, the best is yet to come. We will make America great again.